Taking your PowerPoint to the next level is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Andrew Jones. Brother Andrew Jones serves in our media production ministry and oversees the projection ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
I want to start off by saying this is, as you've noticed, taking your PowerPoint to the next level. My name is Andrew Jones, and again, thank you for coming. Welcome to Leadership Conference. We're going to start with a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Lord, we come before you now. We ask that you take this time now and make it useful. I pray that you use every word I say to be a help and encouragement to each person here. I thank you for the thoughts and messages we've received already. I pray that you bless the service tonight and the speaker. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to start off very quickly just by telling you what it is I do here at the church so that you can kind of get a feel from where I'm coming from. Right off on the bat, I'll tell you this. First of all, we will not use the computers in front of you today, so you can be relieved at that. The next thing is, during this session, I'm not going to necessarily teach you how to use PowerPoint. And when I say the word PowerPoint on here, we are talking about presentation software. We're not necessarily saying PowerPoint as in the program. It's just kind of a word that's become known as the software, kind of like Kleenex just became, the brand became kind of the name for the tissue. It's just, I don't use PowerPoint. In fact, it's the first program I threw away when I got my computer. It just frustrates me. I can't understand it. I use Keynote, which is primarily made for an Apple, but it really doesn't matter. If you like PowerPoint, you know how to use it, that's great. Again, I'm not going to take the time to explain how to use each program. You can go to the internet, find free resources just anywhere on the internet. Tutorials, YouTube will show you how to do just about anything on any of these programs. So I'm going to give you primarily the philosophy that we have developed here to use PowerPoint correctly, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. So just to give you an overview of what I do, I will apologize for the clarity of the screen. I didn't realize in this room that one whole wall is dedicated to Windows, so that really diminishes some of the slides, and so you can't see some of the backgrounds on here, so I do apologize for that. Just try to stay with me, and I think we'll get through this okay. I have over 400 slides that we're going to show, but we're going to move quickly. So in your notes, that's why we don't have blanks, because you'll more than likely miss one. And I don't think there's blanks in there. I told them not to put some in there. And so that way is, if you miss something, you don't have to worry about it. The other reason is because I really want your attention on what I'm talking about up here on the screen. I don't want you to miss something. So that's the reason we did that. One of my job descriptions here primarily is the managing editor and designer of the Baptist Voice. And I took that over about 4 years ago. I've enjoyed doing that. And some of you get that, you receive that. The other thing I help with are some of the book covers for Striving Together. I was able to do these covers, and so just a lot of design, and that really comes into play when I do slides and PowerPoint. That's the other job description I do here in the ministry, and we'll be talking about that today. I broke the lesson up really in three parts. The first part, we're going to be talking about the philosophy of slides, and I guarantee you, many of you, some of you, I think I've seen you in here before. And so some of this may be review, and that would be the part one. Part two, I'm going to show you how to use slides effectively. And then number three, I'm just going to give you some examples of how we've used it here and how it's worked well for us. So, and I apologize, some of you probably can't see this, but feel free to move if you have to. This next slide I want to show you, and you'll be shocked to know I found the original PowerPoint, the first PowerPoint that was ever designed, and years ago, it's ancient, and they found it, they recovered it. And so here is the first PowerPoint that man ever created, and you can't even hardly see it, but it's these cave paintings. And one book I read said that that's how far PowerPoint went back, and people use pictures and illustrations to, you could try turning the lights down, I don't think that helped at all. it helped a little bit. And the cave paintings there were kind of the first PowerPoint, and people used pictures and images to tell their story. And in fact, even the Egyptians used illustrations there to show stories. Here are the Egyptian or the Hebrew children coming out. Also with stained glass windows as we went into the or early centuries there, as people would tell stories using stained glass. And that would be, and as one book I read said, a crude form of PowerPoint. And then, of course, we got into, help us, the overhead. And that was the early use of the PowerPoint. And then, of course, in the 80s, we got the computer, and then that began to develop. And again, now we have the sophisticated LCDs, we have the projectors, and all these things are great and good. The whole problem is that as we were getting some of the software and people were beginning to use it more and more, nobody ever asked themselves, how can we use it effectively? They just knew we had a new tool, and sometimes in the church we have a tool that we can use, but have we really thought about how can we use it effectively? And so again, that's what we're really going to target today. I wrote down this quote by a parent who said, "The good news is and my daughter's teachers are at last beginning to use computers. The bad news is they are using them to make PowerPoint presentations." And he wrote that in his in a book, "How PowerPoint is Ruining and Depriving Students." And in many cases, it is, and because it is done ineffectively. And we'll get into that a little later on. In fact, a school district in Texas said all of our students are getting laptops, and now we are desperate to figure out something for them to do on them. And that seems to be sometimes the philosophy of those who receive the tools but aren't quite sure what to do with them. In fact, when we first moved into the building that you were in now in 1999, we had screens, and you can't see them very well, but they weren't even on. For many Sundays, we didn't know really how to use them, and they were new even in the late 90s to a lot of people, and so we didn't want to use them just for the sake of using them until we knew how to use them effectively. Now, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "Nearly all man can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power," and I added point. So. That really is true, because of the sense of you really need to think through why we're using PowerPoint. I'm going to help you with that today in this lesson, because it can be used ineffectively. And all of us know that there are pros and cons to every piece of technology that's out there. In fact, the internet. We know that with the internet comes the pros, if we can further the gospel, and then come the cons. It can be used in a very evil way. And the same is true with PowerPoint. It can be used very positively, and it can be used negatively. And I'm going to give you two very extreme examples of how it can be used positively and another example of how it can be used negatively. And with this next slide, talking about the internet, Al Gore invented the internet here. And he gave his presentation, and I'm told that this was in October 2007. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for global warming, and he also won an Academy Award. And they credit the reason that he won that is because he had such an effective PowerPoint presentation. In fact, one of the books I recommend is called Slideology by Nancy Duarte, and he actually gave his presentation to this company. They developed it. By the way, you can watch it on the internet if you go to their website. I have, and it's a good presentation, but to be honest with you, I think everybody in this room could put together, with a little bit of time and creativity, could have put together the same presentation. It's not above our heads. It just took a little thought, and with that, he won all these awards for what he believed in. And so that, as you can see, when it's done effectively, it can really get the truth across. But I'm going to show you negatively how it can be used. Some of you remember back in 2003, the Columbia accident that happened. It was wheeled out to the launch pad, took off, picture perfect, everything went well. And then, of course, we saw the tragedy and the lives that were lost because of that. As you begin to dig through and understand the research and try to put the pieces back together to see what happened, why did such a disaster happen, they found the culprit. And they blamed a lot of it on PowerPoint. And let me read you a quote from the New York Times. They said, NASA had become too reliant on presenting complex information via PowerPoint instead of by means of traditional ink and paper technical reports. They went on to say that it is easy to understand how a senior manager might read this PowerPoint slide and not realize that it addresses a life-threatening situation. And because of that, these men and women lost their lives. Now, again, I know this is an extreme example, but I really want you to think about this, and I think it's relevant to understand that I wonder how many of us really spend time preparing our presentations in a proper way. In fact, I think several people have come to our conference and have said, "I watched a video from this church and it changed my life. I saw a presentation this church put together and it changed my life." And And of course, sermons change people's lives and other things like that. But I really wonder how many of us prepare for a PowerPoint presentation that we're doing for our pastor and spend as much time doing that as Pastor Chapel spent with his Monday night message. You know, think about it. The stakes are just as high. And this, again, is an extreme example. Some people lost their lives. In fact, I read about how that two of these men pictured in the picture were born-again Christians. And one of them talked about his faith in Christ. In fact, they showed a video on February the 2nd at the Grace Community Church where the man talked about his faith in Christ. In fact, he said this. He said, one of the astronauts on here, his last name was Husband. He said, if my life ended having been just an astronaut and having sacrificed my family along the way and not glorifying God, then I would look back on it and have regret. And so how needless for somebody's life to be lost. And a lot of it, they said, was just the fact that somebody put together a poor presentation. And I don't think that's too extreme or being melodramatic when you think about how that in a preaching service, Pastor Chapel has used slides like this to illustrate the gospel. And if done incorrectly, it could distract somebody, and somebody could be hindered from the gospel message. So we really need to think about that. I put down this: the amount of time required to develop a presentation is directly proportional to how high the stakes are. And if you really value the people that God has entrusted us with, then you'll spend a lot of time. In fact, one author I read said for a one-hour presentation with 30 slides, which I've done many of those, just 1 hour for somebody to present, it should take somebody 36 to 90 hours total. I give that to you for you to understand. Don't think you can whip it together, you know, just a few minutes before the service and think it's going to be effective. That's not the case. And in that amount of time, that includes the research to make sure that the facts you're giving are correct, the ideas, organizing the information, sketching it out on a piece of paper, designing it, building it, and then, of course, rehearsing it. And we'll talk about that. So just to jump into this, introducing the scenario, you know, even as little kids, we are inherently visual communicators. My son will be 2 next month, and this is true. I kind of did an experiment on him, and you draw things on the paper. It just captivates his attention, and it's the same thing with really any age group. People are captivated by somebody who's telling them a story using visual elements. The sad news is only less than 7% of people that are in college studying business and management ever study how to present information via a screen, and that's sad because that is such an effective way, as we'll even talk about some effective presenters when it comes to the business world, such as Apple and others who just do a great job selling their product, and it's because they do such a great job with effective slides. Now, making bad slides is easy. We've all done it. I don't need to tell you that your PowerPoints are bad. If they are bad, chances are you know they are, and other people have told you that. It's easy to make bad slides, but it will negatively impact the effectiveness in your ministry. I'm told that over 30 plus million presentations are made every day, and no doubt the majority of them are done ineffectively. And just to give you an idea of this, let's understand what people remember. I'm told people remember 10% of what they read. They remember 20% of what they hear. They remember 30% of what they see. And listen to this, they remember 70% of what they see and hear. So just pick up a copy of your pastor's Sunday morning sermon after he preaches, and you'll listen to it and you'll think, I don't remember him saying that. He said it, but you only retain 20% of it. But if you use sometimes a visual, people will take that 30 and 20, put it together, and 70% of what people, they remember 70% of what they hear and see. That's a 350% increase from what they hear, 250% increase from what they see. So 30 plus million presentations made every day. Now let me give you the purpose of a presentation. Just 2 words simply: it's communicating visually. Communicating visually. I like what CEO Mark Templeton said. He said, my goal is to say more with fewer words, and the presentation medium forces you to put all your thoughts into a consumable sequence. Let me give you an example of this. Sometimes people think that a PowerPoint must communicate every thought that the speaker is presenting. And again, I know I'm talking about not only sermons, I'm talking about if you're presenting a building project to your church, you have to do a PowerPoint presentation. If it's a Sunday school, a new program you're starting. So we're talking about several different presentations here, but not everything you're saying needs to go on the screen. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's almost as if somebody were to ask you, what time is it? And instead of giving them the time, you gave them the detailed instructions of how a clock worked. People's minds just can't go that far. And a PowerPoint is telling you what time it is. The presenter, the notes, that is describing how the clock works. And they're two different forms of medium, and we'll get into that in a few more slides. The average slide, people were asked, what's wrong with the average slide? A lot of people said the graphics were cluttered. There was too much on a slide. The slide looked like an eye chart, just way too small. They couldn't read it. The slide was just a data dump. And the reason I feel this is the case is because people fail to distinguish between the presentation and document. And I call it the presentation as document syndrome. Now, this is key. There's a difference between a presentation and a document. This is a presentation, and this is a document. On Sunday morning, we have notes that we hand out in the service. In fact, a perfect example was what you saw Monday night. We hand those notes out. That would be considered the document. The presentation is what goes up on the screen. We don't put the detailed information up on the screen. We put that in the notes. And there is a difference. Some people, they would just copy and paste this into a PowerPoint, and that is not a presentation. That is a document. And it leaves the audience confused. In fact, sometimes people will say, hey, I missed a meeting, a staff meeting, where you just send me your PowerPoint and it'll be okay. And they treat the slides as handouts. But listen, if you're doing your PowerPoint correctly, it will not make sense to somebody. If it does make sense to somebody, there's way too much information on the slide. And again, you're getting back to that instead of what time it is, the detailed instructions about how a clock works. So just understand quickly that there's a difference between a PowerPoint presentation and the document. Now, there are three types of presentations. There's the document, where you have everything on a slide. You have the teleprompter, where somebody looks up at the screen and says, what's next? Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me tell you about this. They're teleprompted by the screen. And then there's a presentation that's just done automatically. Now, there's several different ways to run the presentation. The person could actually stand up here, as I am today, and run the presentation, which doesn't always work well in preaching. In a class setting, that may be okay. Which just makes the effort between the pastor and the person running this they have to be very close, and they need to understand exactly what the other person is doing. And if they're not going to run it, the best way is for somebody themselves to run it. They're familiar enough with it. But again, in a church setting, oftentimes, especially myself, since I make the slides, my heart's in it. I've seen the sermon. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But every weekend, I will get the sermon from Pastor Chappell's entire notes. And I'll take that, I'll go through it, I'll look at every line, read every word, and I'll highlight the main points, subpoints. I give it to somebody else who types the outline out. I'll again proof it. And then I begin to look at anything in there that we can communicate visually. We don't go about it reverse. We don't find a cool visual and think, this would be a great sermon we could preach about. That's the opposite way to look at it. That's what the cults do. They find a great thought and then make up the scripture. So we want to make sure that we are sticking with the outline, and that's what we'll do. When it comes to the proper role of graphics, it's just as simple as 1, 2, 3. Let me give you number 1, presenter focus graphics support. Now, many of you have seen PowerPoint done effectively, and you may not even have realized it, but on the evening network news, there is PowerPoint done effectively. Let me show you how it's done right here. And if you notice, a couple things about this slide, and I just pulled this off a NBC broadcast. Right up there in the corner, you may not have realized it, but that is a PowerPoint. Notice it's got a graphic and it's got two words. It doesn't have a bunch of text, and just a graphic and two words. And again, I didn't make these up. This is just the way it is. A graphic and two words. Now, here's the interesting part. If you were to take away the presenter and just have the PowerPoint, it would not make sense. And again, if it made sense, there was way too much on the slide. Again, there's a difference between a presenter and a presentation. Now, if you were to take the slide away and just have the presenter, you could totally understand the story. He could present the story, and you don't need the graphic. It's just what I call presenter focus, graphic support. Presenter focus is big, graphic support is small. This is another thing we'll talk about later, but even where it is located, it's always to his left, and it's never on the right. In fact, when you look at me in this room, the PowerPoint, if you have a preference, unless your auditorium is built the opposite way, you really want your PowerPoint, if you only have one screen, to be on your left. And that's just, we'll talk about the natural flow of the eye in a moment. Less is more. My philosophy is, when in doubt, leave it out. Be careful about images that conjure up maybe the wrong feelings. And I thought Monday night was a great example of even that picture we showed of the two men with the two girls. I don't think it was offensive, but I thought it was appropriate in that way. And you've got to really be able to gauge that. Number three, minimize eye sweeps. Again, let me just tell you how the human eye works. This is interesting to me, but if you look at most handsomely printed books, you have that large letter right there, and that draws your eye to start reading. Then from there, you begin to read from left to right. Here in America, this Western culture, we read from left to right. And the same is true when it comes to a slide. People read from left to right. Now, when it comes to a book, you're just talking about a few inches. When it comes to a screen, you're talking about several feet. And so your eye really has to move quickly. But notice how your eye is always trained to look from left to right. And again, going back to this slide, the most important person is the presenter. The second least important is the presentation. You never see it this way. It goes against the natural flow of the eye. Your eye should see the person that's most important first. In fact, what I call the hero-villain principle, okay? The hero, in most plays, always moves across the stage if done right. He goes with the natural flow of the eye. It always moves from the way you would read. Here's a couple examples. Now, the villain, he goes against the natural flow of the eye. There he is. Now, I'm going to show you this next graphic. I want you just subconsciously to think, what does my eye look at first, okay? You ready? And kind of subconsciously what it reads next. So just kind of what it reads first, what your eye reads next, and in that order. Here we go. Now, I threw that up there. Probably the first thing you looked at was the graphic. The second thing you looked at was the text. And the last thing you did was you listened to me, okay? So that's exactly what happens. When a slide goes up, the first thing people do is they look at the graphic, they read the text, and then they listen to what the speaker has to say. Now, if you've got a terrible graphic, that distracts them. If you have a ton of text, they're reading the text. And if you have a speaker that's saying something very important, they just missed what he said. You understand that? So it's critical that the simpler the slide, the cleaner the slide, it just goes one, two, and then I would be if I could have a three over my head, okay? That's the way it works. So just review, we've got presenter focus, graphic support, less is more, minimize eye sweeps. I'm going through this quickly here. Graphic design elements, I'm just going to fly through this. Several different types of slides. Pictorial, where you have pictures, relational, text, numeric. These are different types of slides. Talk about the transfer of emotion. I love this thought. When it comes to the human brain, I'm told that the right side is emotional, musical, moody. Women have more of this, I think. The left side is dexterity, facts, hard data. The men really kind of are more of this. And you've got the emotional and factual. The emotional would be the PowerPoint. The factual would be the presenter. And when you have both working together, it really, all circuits are really firing there. Communication is the transfer of emotion. Now, here's another slide I'm going to show you. If I was presenting to you, I need money for the troops in Afghanistan who have lost family members. We need to provide for these families. And I wanted to give you a presentation telling you that there are people who have lost loved ones. We need to provide for these loved ones. Will you help me give? The typical person would present the show like this. They'd say the war on terror, and they'd go through all these bullet points, and the audience would be bored. Instead of doing a PowerPoint like this, why not do something like this? And while you're showing these, you're talking about how that people every day put their lives on the line, and many of them pay the ultimate sacrifice. And then you say this, and how will you help? See, it's the transfer of emotion. And that's much more effective than throwing a bunch of bullet points up there. You can have the bullet points right here, what you'll say, but you don't want to throw them up on the screen. That's the transfer of emotion. We also have the transfer of emotion in motion. Now, this really has nothing to do with the lesson in that sense, but you can do video. This is just to kind of wake you up. And again, you may not be able to see it as well.
So we will get that schedule revised and sent right out to you, sir.
Sounds good. Listen, I should be back in the office on Tuesday. I'd like to see an updated P&L.
Very good. So we're all over it. Wrap it up there, Jared.
That was close.
Yeah, that was close.
I can still hear you.
so it can be used effectively, okay? Now, when it comes to bullets versus sentences, here's a perfect example. We've all heard of bullets and sentences. What's the difference on a screen? Here's a perfect example of what a great bullet is right here. Right there on most newspapers, they give you a bullet point. Sometimes it lacks articles, prepositions. It just gets right to the point. That's a perfect bullet point. Here's an example right there of a clean bullet point. You want to avoid what I call word wrap. You say, what is that? It's not a burrito or anything like that. What it is, a word wrap is when it's a full sentence forces a bullet into a word wrap. Right there, your eye had to sweep across the screen twice. You looked at it twice. When it comes to crafting the effective bullet slide, you want to avoid this. Okay, we've all done things like that. That's not what you want to go for. You want to go for something where it's a single line, title, first bullet, second bullet, so forth. When it comes to using the build, sometimes people do that. Just, you know, how low can you go? And I'll tell you this, we don't go past the main bullet. And if you want to do that in your notes, as you saw probably Monday night, we do go beyond that in the notes. But people's minds, from what we can understand, don't follow you past the main point, especially on the screen. They just lose you after that. If you start putting any more than that, it's really not necessary. So keep it simple. Here's just some priority rules for presentations. Keep your font choices simple. I know many of us have lots of fonts that maybe we spend some money on. We want to use them all. Be good stewards. But if you do that, it'll end up kind of looking like a ransom note. So you want to be careful with that. You want to use a clear typeface. Here's what to look for. If you notice when you go out to the stop sign today or wherever, most signs that are out there, freeway entrance, have you ever noticed the font? It's always this font. And the reason is because at a distance, it's easy to see. And the lines are simple. There's no weight variation in the P. There's wide openings. At great distances, you can see it up on a screen. It's going to look very nice. Here's what to avoid. You don't want to use a crazy font like this that's just crunched. It's very condensed. The openings are too small. At a distance, especially in the back of the auditorium, people just can't see that. Here's another good font that you can use that's great for written text. And when you're reading, it's the preferred font to use in written form. But up on the screen, as you can see, small lines can disappear, extreme weight variations. That's just what you want to avoid. You want to keep the font size to a minimum of 36 points, no matter what size the audience, really. In fact, here's some examples. These are actually from my computer, what the fonts will look like. You don't want to really go below 36. Oftentimes we've had to bump up even 36. Sometimes that's just too small. When it comes to text, avoid using more than 6 words on a slide. I know this is kind of an oxymoron. I just use more than 6. I would say this is a good rule to go by, okay? If you need to use more, break it up. Put it on more than one slide. Now, when it comes to a quote, I typically try to use those on one slide. It's a very long quote. You know, I'll break it up and put the rest of the quote on another slide. Again, avoid abbreviations at all cost. Old Testament. Don't put OT, things like that. Things like that. You want to try to avoid that. When it comes to images, never, ever, ever, ever use clip art. Sometimes I have used illustrations that could resemble clip art, but that really gives an unprofessional feel. And there's really not a whole lot of reason to use clip art. In the old days, it was great, but with the internet now, you could just find pictures out there for free just about anywhere. And there's no reason to use clip art. You want to use professional pictures. You don't want to use the built-in sound effects. You've heard them, the car roaring, things like that. Never use dissolve, spins, or other transitions, none. Now, occasionally, here's my philosophy with this. This would be that if it helps enhance the message, then use it. If sometimes you're trying to create a chart that has a continual feel to it, it's okay to maybe use a move transition where you're trying to get the audience to understand this is part of the same show. In that sense, it's there's continuity there, and sometimes we'll do some dramatic door opening, something comes in, but it's very minimal. You don't want people to be noticing your transitions more than your slides, where that's a cool one. and I never saw. But if it enhances and people are like, wow, that presentation is coming at me, and the message just kind of hits you, that's a good thing. And when it comes to backgrounds, you want to avoid using busy backgrounds. You can't see this one as well, but we already know it's money. It's got the dollar sign. We don't need to use backgrounds like that. We could just use a simple background. Here's another example. You always want to use a dark background when you're presenting slides. You don't want to use that. It's blind. White is blinding to the audience. And actually, in this room today, it probably would work much better just for the sake of the windows. But in most auditorium settings, you don't have windows like this. Again, as soon as I flashed that up there, everyone's face just lit up. And if you had to look at that all day, it would really wear on your eyes. And it's just easier to reverse it. Which brings us to the second part of the lesson today. We're going to talk about the creative process, organizing your information. Here's a couple ideas. Again, I've talked to you before. I'll get the outline from Pastor Chappell, whoever's preaching, and I'll look through that to see how we can be creative. And then I'll take it to him. He'll look at it. And oftentimes, he'll have suggestions. Hey, maybe let's try this. And sometimes he'll take things out. He'll say, no, let's not use that. And again, he's got that prerogative. But that's simply how we do that. Here's one idea of organizing information. One person said they use sticky notes, and they use a marker, felt tip marker. And they'll put them all on the board, and they'll write on them the information for the presentation that they're doing. And the reason they use that marker in such a small little space is because if you run out of room with a felt tip marker on a small sticky note, chances are you're putting too much on the slide. And then they could take those sticky notes and rearrange them. That's one idea to do it. I don't do that. I don't own a sticky pad. I just use the old-fashioned paper way, and I'll just draw it out. It helps me just to draw it. I'm not a great artist, but I can draw out what something would look like. And before I waste the time of putting it up on a slide, I could just see, now that won't work. And that just seems to help me. But it is helpful to see it on paper, just old-fashioned paper. And oftentimes before I design the Baptist voice or anything like that, I'll always, except for a book cover, I'll always draw it out on a piece of paper. I don't have it with me here, but I have a piece of paper. It looks like cartoon sketches, and it's just a storyboard. And you do the same thing with slides. I mentioned a moment ago Apple Keynote, and here's just an example. So here he's got a stool up there.
Second part is our music businesses, the iPod, iTunes. And the third part is now the iPhone. Now I'm going to take this morning and talk about the iPhone, things related to the iPhone.
Now I thought that was interesting. What in the world did a stool have to do with this PowerPoint? It just kind of captivated the audience, at least it did me. I thought, what is that got to do with it? And then he said there's three parts to it. It's kind of like the leg that holds up this company. And I thought, what a creative way, and it didn't clutter up the slide, but it was just a simple, I think anybody could put a stool on a slide and put some words on it, and it just gave it just took somebody actually thinking about it. And that's what I'm trying to get across. You have to think through what you're doing. And then the other key, of course, is just practice, practice, practice. Here's the same presentation I'll show you, but look in front of him. If you can, right down there, you'll see the TVs, shows him what's coming up, what's next. And again, if you've seen in the auditorium, we have that display that's on the mounted right up there on the balcony, right in front of the sound booth. And that's not so the choir can read the words of the song. Primarily is for the presenter presenting the message, that he knows exactly what's coming up. And without looking behind him, he can just have the freedom to look ahead and to speak to the audience and feel like he has that together. In fact, here's a picture of our vision night. I think this was a year ago, and we had a screen that we presented a large PowerPoint of just the vision of our church, where we were going, and right down there on the front row we had what is coming up next screen, and it was very easy for Dr. Chappell to go through that presentation knowing what's coming up. And for that specific presentation, as really every presentation tonight, we met at about 4 o'clock in the auditorium, and we went over every slide, every video, we played through it, and you've got to practice it, practice it, practice it. And I know this takes time, but it will make a difference. Here's what a title slide is. A title slide is what would be up in the service last night and tonight. You have the empowered by His Spirit, and then encouraged by His Spirit, and then tonight's theme. That would be that's what we call a banner, you know, your church's theme. Here's an announcement slide. Just has what's coming up, date, time, outline slides. Here's an example. And sometimes I like to mix it up, maybe do it a different way. But either way, in any event, we keep it very simple. And it's oftentimes we'll cut out the redundancy in an outline. Maybe before the example, it said the spiritual leader has an example. I try to find the key words that are the same just to keep it trim because, again, they have it in their notes. And we try to keep the blank, what is up on the screen, so people aren't raising their hand saying, I missed that. What is it? It's there right in front of them. Here's just another example. Talk about making a slide. And again, I know everyone in here is at different levels in design. Some people I know are just, they're gifted when it comes to graphic design. And those are the people you've got to find, isolate, and they can help you. But I think all of us can organize information, and we can present it to somebody who maybe graphically has the ability to put something together. Here's a slide we did for a series. I've often thought about, because some people will say to me, we can't design something maybe quite that elegant, and all of us could probably just put a picture in a box on a nice background and put the text below it. And it doesn't have to be maybe like this, but it could still be creative. Here's the background of that. Here's another example of the just some title slides. And of course the background. I'll just throw a hue saturation over this and bring down the lightness on it, and so that text can show up. All right, so moving into number three. In this part, again, we're just about out of time. I've got about 5 minutes. We're gonna move through this quickly. I'm just gonna show you some examples of how I've used PowerPoint over these last couple months, and hopefully give you some ideas. Some of you probably saw this presentation rolling. I think it was Monday night of the service. On Sunday, Pastor Chappell introduced the goals that we'll have for the 25th anniversary. And you can't see this as well, but when I start a presentation, I always try to find a theme. So I start with a background, and I want to try to carry that background throughout the slides. And again, it's very simple. What I will do is we print the slides out on a half sheet of paper, and I put three up on a page. In fact, I do it in InDesign, if some of you are familiar with InDesign. In Keynote, you can export TIFFs or JPEGs, and it does every slide that way. And then what I do is I just place everything into the InDesign document. I can't find a setting that I like in Keynote to technical difficulty. Back on track. There's so many settings you can print out the slides. I've not liked any of them because what I like to do is I like to print out right next to the slide what maybe the slide is about, so that Dr. Chappell can take those up there with him and he can look at it, and right next to it, it has what the slide is about. And he often not for his sermons, he won't take the slides up there, but for a presentation like this, where there are no verses in that sense, there's no sermon outline, he could just look at that presentation. I'll put three up on a page, and he has a small binder, so we'll just cut that in half. But I'll place it in InDesign, and you can just hold down the Option key and just fly through that, just place all those, and it works really well for me in InDesign. If you don't know anything about InDesign, don't worry about that. Just again, we used a simple picture, and again, you can't see this as well, but I carried that background. I kind of erased the top, try to carry that theme throughout the presentation. Again, this is simple. Anybody could do this. You could put the date up at the corner and talk about this, but it's very clean, professional, and the presenter, Pastor Chappell, told the story of each picture you see here. And again, pictures like this, they just kind of tell the story on their own. We went into outreach, and here's an example right here. You know, we cut the picture out, put it on the background, and it just took me some time. I had to sit down, and he just gave me a list. Here's the 25 goals, make them visual. And so that's what we tried to do. And these pictures I just got off the internet, and that was just one big picture. That was a simple one, but it's just trying to think creatively. How can I get a team of people to help you think creatively, and other people help me, and I'll show them something, they'll like it or not like it, and we'll go from there. Here's just another example Again, these pictures are just on the internet, easy to find. I'll go through these quickly. Many of you saw these. Just simple words, and he would talk about them. We try to use ministry pictures as much as possible. Talked about edification, the commemorative book, commemorative video. Try to carry that theme throughout. Here's one I kind of like. This one, this is my favorite one. Trying to think creatively. You can't see it as well, but up on the sign. I like to, somebody will come in my office and we're working on something. I like to say, how would you visualize this slide? I like to see them kind of sweat. I don't know. And it is tough sometimes to visualize a slide, but it just takes a little thought and creativity, and then just kind of start searching for some pictures, use keywords. There are many great websites out there. There's iStock Photo, there's Photolia, there's Shutterstock. Some of these you can subscribe to. Some people use Flickr, and you can use that. Some of you saw these slides in the service, so I'll go through these quickly, but this is a great way. The easiest slides sometimes are in a sermon to illustrate are the ones that are stats. Those are sometimes if the sermon, I'll get a sermon, it's about the Holy Spirit, and there's just nothing in there that I can visualize. I've not seen a picture of the Holy Spirit, so it's hard to visualize something like that. In that case, we'll do the best we can. Maybe we'll have a opening illustration. We can use a graphic there, but you don't try to force it. And if there's nothing, there's nothing. And you move on. But illustration stats like this, those were pretty simple to do. Again, we carried that theme background. It's really just a picture and text, and not a whole lot of creativity to this. Here's our Times Are Changing series. Now, this was an unusual series, as you've heard about. This became a book, some of it, if not most of it. But for these slides right here, they took me hours to work on. And I thought I'd bring a few of them here to you. Some of these made it into the book. Some of them just wouldn't have worked in the book. We used charts like this. These are just ideas I came up with when I received the outline. I think I got the outline on Monday. I had all week to work on it, between other things. These are just to give you some ideas of how we've used it. Here's a great one, size comparison, California, Israel. And I brought a visitor to church during this series, and he was just captivated by the message, the visuals. He told me after it was over, he wasn't saved either. He said, man, I just didn't want it to end. And not that we're putting on a show for people, but it really engaged him in what he was talking about. When you're talking about world events and you pull up pictures that they just saw on the news the night before, that's powerful. And it brings just a relevance to what you're talking about. And here's another example. I think this made it in the book. Here's an example right here. I just did a template. And many of these slides, as I went through here, we can throw those on Ministry 127. I think that would help many people. I thought about even putting the salvation slides on there, if that would help you, any of these. Here's a template, though, where I just pulled these off the internet. And as Pastor Chappell was talking about these people, we were able to throw their picture up. It just was a great touch to the series, Times Are Changing. Again, Google is great. Just many of these too are you can use these. They are there's no license on them. And when it comes to screens in your church, I would say that from what I can understand, I've called a few folks about this, the legality. Apparently, we are allowed to use these in church use inside your church in a public forum setting. But you do want to be careful. You don't want to print these necessarily and pass them out. Some of these pictures, again, are copyrighted. Here's an example where I gave the definition of a word. And that helps. You can put that on the screen. Just ideas of, if you're trying to think of what can I visualize. Here's a different way to present the points. Instead of the typical bullet point, I had a graphic. And then charts. Charts, of course, are great. Here's one right here, and then we have 300 prophecies of Christ's second coming. Here was the closing point of one of his messages, and just some kind of humorous pictures, but they really just how people respond to Bible prophecy. And just an idea, I thought might work. Here's, again, something we used off Wikipedia, another map. Here's another illustration of ways you can present the message. I scanned that out of a book, colorized it, wasn't too hard, cut it out. Sometimes we'll put people on there using their quotes. Again, we put the pledge there. I know I'm going through these quickly. I think we get the idea. Here's an interesting one right here, showing the comparison, currency comparison of the American dollar. And that really helped for the audience to see that. And again, you could just Google image these people. And again, you want to research, make sure you have the facts correct. Every quote, every illustration that we used, everything was documented in the notes that were handed out on Sunday morning. Same thing with these people, easy to find. Now I'm really flying through these. There's some specific ones here at the end I really want you to see. As you can tell, a lot of slides. And these were pictures that Pastor Chappell took on his trip. Here's one we illustrated the different eras. This was a chart that we made, and again, you could do this in Keynote. It's very simple. We were on the focus on Israel message, and that's an illustration of how you can move the visual without distracting. It actually worked really well. And I'm going to skip ahead here to this right here. I thought this worked really well. When pastor's preaching on the rapture, we use this illustration. How that when Christ comes, only the like substance will be drawn up. You might have heard that illustration before. It's a popular one. I thought it was really effective, and people really caught onto that. And when we talked about the rapture. And one last thing I did want to show you here. Here was our series, Power for Life. One thing I did want to say is that what's really helped me, instead of having to design a slide for every message, what's helped is we have a series, and I create a graphic that we use throughout the series, and then we just throw the title at the bottom of that. That really saves me a lot of time. I don't have to come up with a creative title for Power to Lead, a guy leading the charge. You just put that on the end, and it really works well. And here's a couple stats we had for Father's Day. Men found having children 88% more rewarding. And again, if you see the theme, if you remember the theme of the stats I showed a moment ago, it had that grunge look. These all have the same similar look, and it really works well. They're all white, clean, cut out. Again, this isn't too hard to do. And that's our background. I know I went through that quickly, and I hope that gives you just a feel, and I know I flew through that, but it gives a philosophy of what should be up there, what should not be up there, thinking creatively. Again, nothing should ever distract or take away from the message of the preacher. And templates are very key. In fact, if you saw throughout the conference, everybody had the same PowerPoint, except for a few people. But the majority of people, we sent them a template, just said, use this. You want to create templates in your church for your Sunday school or whatnot. And again, I will say Ministry 127, we're working to put more slides on there. I've got, as you can imagine, thousands of slides I've done over the years. They're just sitting on the computer, and so we want to get those to people, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. So thank you for coming.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you.
Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.